You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Rambam quotes a pasuk which tells us that there is, in fact, a mitzvah say min haTorah to daven to Hashem each and every day. I'll quote the Rambam. The Rambam says, mitzvah say l'spala b'choyom. There's a mitzvah say to pray every day to Hashem, shenema, avatem as Hashem alokechem. We should worship Hashem. And according to Torah Shalapeh, the Pishmu Longo, what is this avod, what is this work? Zu tefillah refers to praying to Hashem. Shenemi quotes another pasuk, ula avdo b'chol avavchem. We should worship God and serve God with our entire heart. Amru chachamim eiz avod shebalev. How do we do work with our heart? Zu tefillah, this is the concept of prayer, of praying to Hashem. And if that's the case, according to the Rambam, there is a mitzvah say which the Hilel Aharon categorizes as a mitzvah say that's not Zman Grama, that therefore is incumbent not only are men required to daven to Hashem, but since this is not a Zman Grama mitzvah, women are also chayavos to daven to Hashem each and every day. And the Rambam says when it comes to the actual format of the mitzvah, the way we daven to Hashem each and every day is we follow a specific format. We first start our prayer with being Mishabeach Hashem, speaking about the various beautiful things that Hashem does for us in the world at large. Then the middle part of prayer is we make our bakashos. We make our bakashos, our requests for our needs and necessities in order to survive as a human being in this world. And the end of the davening of our prayer should have a hoidah. We thank Hashem for what He's done for us in the past, and thank Hashem for the present, and thank Hashem in advance for what He's going to do for us in the future as well. So these concepts of Shevach, Bakasha, and Todar is the format of how prayer takes place. And the fact of the matter is, even our Shemona Esrei, which we daven today, which we recite on a daily basis, when the Anshei Knesset HaGdola formulated the actual Nusach HaTfilah, which we use today in our prayer service, they modeled the Shemona Esrei into, in fact, the three parts. The first three parts of the Shemona Esrei are Shevach to Hashem. The middle brachos that we say in the Shemona Esrei are our bakoshos, are our requests for our needs and necessities. And the last three brachos of the Shemona Esrei, ultimately speaking, are statements of Hadar, of thanking Hashem for all that He's done for us up until this point in time. So even the rabbinical format of prayer, which we daven in our Shemona Esreis, whether Shachris, Mincha, Maariv, or for that matter, the Shemona Esreis where we recite on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, we recite on Pesach, Shulis, and Sukkis, all of them have this type of format of three parts as part of the format of how Tefillah and Torah is supposed to take place. The next question is, if this is something that's required to be done each and every day, how do we understand it? How do we comprehend it? And what's fascinating is that there's another Rishon out there who, on a deraisa level, seems to disagree with the Rambam. I'm referring specifically to the Ramban Nachmanides, who in his commentary to the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos claims that the only time we have a chiyuv min haTorah to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is when we are in an eis tzara, we're in a time of potential tragedy or potential destruction, potential harm. An eis tzara requires us to reach out to Hashem and pray to Him, which would seem to imply that when we're not in this type of Eisat Sara, the Chiyuv or the Chiyuv in the Torah to pray to Hashem does not exist. And if we do pray to Hashem the entire year, even if we're not in this state of harm or a potential danger, it's a rabbinical phenomenon, not a biblical phenomenon. My Rebbe Rastalavechik, in his explanation of the controversy between Maimonides and Nachmanides, has a very interesting formulation I want to share with you to start off the shiur and put it into perspective. According to Rav Soloveitchik, he feels that even though the Ramban and Rambam have a different opinion of when a person is obligated to pray to Hashem, even though there is this open machlokas I just mentioned, but he feels that there is a common denominator of what in fact is the mechayev, what causes us to have the obligation to pray to God. What is it, what specific phenomenon makes tefillah a biblical obligation, whether according to the Rambam or according to the Ramban, and what is their controversy concerning the nature of this specific potential danger or endangerment. And what I'm going to tell you now is the magnificent formulation of my dear Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik. So listen very carefully as he develops the formulation in this specific case. Listen to what he says. What he says very beautifully is the following. What he says is that according to the Ramban, for a person to have a biblical command to pray to God, you have to be in a situation of seeing a surface, visible, eis hatzara, potential endangerment confronting you. For instance, the storm we had for Sandy is an example. A tornado, a tremendous flood heading our way. All types of potential dangerous worldwide sicknesses that are literally very, very dangerous to human health and have immediate consequences. So whatever is what he calls a surface crisis, a surface tzara, a neis hatzara on that level is mechayev tefillah on a Torah level. But when you don't have such a surface crisis on that level, tefillah is merely rabbinical in nature and not biblical in nature. However, Rav Soloveitchik says, therefore, the Rambam for Maimonides, he has a different way of defining an eis hatzara. For the Rambam, an eis hatzara is not a actual crisis that you have to see with your eyes and visualize and be obvious to the world at large that danger is heading directly in your direction and threatening your physical existence. But according to Rav Soloveitchik, he says that according to Maimonides, even an existential crisis, which means a mental crisis, an emotional crisis that people have on how am I going to survive this day, emotionally, psychologically, financially, that something's happened to this person on a private existential level, and they therefore have tremendous fears and trepidations how their survival is going to take place. It's not something anybody else can see. It's not something else that anybody else can visualize or is obvious to the observer, but it is something contained in the inner resources of the folds of your brain, something that's existential in nature, fears and trepidations and worries that you have. Human existence is full of unknowns when it comes to human existence and human capacity to be able to survive in this world for all private reasons. So according to the Rambam, when you have an eis hatzara pnimi, an inner existential eis hatzara, that likewise is mechayev, requires you to daven in prayer to God. And since the Rambam says that there's no human being on the face of this earth that doesn't have a daily existential crisis one way or another, that is why he was of the opinion that the eis hatzara pnimi, or the inner existential crisis of an eis hatzara, is what is mechayev, requires you to pray biblical prayer, and that's why he feels that a human being, based upon that reality of human existence, of uncertainty and fear and trepidation of what the next minute is going to bring, is therefore what's mechayev you in tefillah, according to the unique formulation of Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik. The common denominator between these two opinions is that prayer is a response to a potential eis tzara, to various types of forms of harm, of tragedy, whether it's physical, whether it's mental, whether it's emotional, whether it is communal, whether it's international. Something that's confronting me, generating fear, is what in fact is mechayev tefillah on a Torah level, and therefore that is what tefillah is. We're showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu that without HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help and his interference in our daily life, either in a surface crisis, which is obvious to all, or in an inner existential crisis, which is only known to you, our survival is totally dependent upon the Azer, the help we get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore, what we're really saying on a deeper level is the Rabbanu Shalom, our survival in this world is dependent upon your divine help and Siyata Deshmaya each and every day. All that we have in this world, the world itself and its existence, the actual ability for us to survive in this world and to flourish in this world and to have the capacity to be able to continue to function in this world, we are dependent on Hashem, for Hashem to help us and give us divine help in these daily activities. That's why Chazal say Hakol b'day Shemayim, everything is basically helped and actually carried through the help of God, through Siyata Deshmaya of God. And one of the statements mentioned by the Ramban himself in his Perish L'Chumish really brings this point out in a very, very beautiful and very poetic fashion. I want to read to you from this Ramban text, and when you hear what he has to say, you'll understand why I'm saying to you that what the Ramban really says over here gives us a perspective of exactly what we're trying to accomplish when it comes to our prayer to Hashem, especially the public prayer we do when we go to a shul to pray and we dive in with the tzibur with a group of people. So this is now a quote from Nachmanides when it comes to the concept of the power of prayer. Says Nachmanides the following. He says, in general, kavanat kol hamitzvot, the kavanah, the purpose behind all the mitzvot we do in the Torah, shenamin, is to show our belief, belokeinu, in a God, which means to say, if we are doing a mitzvah, it means we believe there is a mitzvah, there's a commander of this mitzvah. So our performance of mitzvahs automatically has included in it a belief, a divine belief in God's divine existence, commanding us to conduct ourselves in a certain way. V'node lav, and we have to give acknowledgement to God, shehu baranu, which means every human being, Jew and non-Jew alike, have to give acknowledgement to God that He is our Creator, which means the world that exists, the universe that exists, and our existence, all is based upon the fact that God created all of these things. He created the universe, He created the world, and He created humanity. V'hi kavanas ha-yitzira, and this is one of the concepts of the creation of the world, and that is to acknowledge that God brought us as His creatures into existence. She'en lanu tam acher b'yitzira harishona. There's no other purpose of a creation unless God wanted us to be created as human beings and acknowledge God as the creator of all of us and the whole universe. Ein kel elyon chafes betachtonim. What does God want from us lowly human beings that live in the terrestrial world? What is God's divine desire from us? Milvad sheyoda adam, that a person should admit and have idea and have knowledge, shewat shalakov bara'o, that God created him. And if that's the case, kavana, the kavana of romamos hakol betfilos, the raising and singing of our voice in prayer to God, what's the purpose of this specific activity? Vakavanas bati kinesias, and the kavana of having synagogues, shul that we go in to pray in each and every day, uschus tfilos harabim, and the spiritual merit in many people praying together for certain needs and necessities of either a tzibur, a group of people, or even a yachid, the concept of davening publicly in a prayer service together. Shiu uvnei adam makom, the purpose of having a shul to do this in is that there should be for human beings a place, yiskapsu, that they can gather there, v'yodu lakel, and they should give admittance to God and statement of verification and belief, shebara'am, that God created us, and himsiam, and brought us and the rest of creation into existence, v'yafarsimuzeh, and we should publicize that with the words that are incorporated in prayer, emphasizing this theme over and over again. And we do emphasize this theme because we talk about God as being the Bara, the creator of us, and that the whole creation he created from the beginning of time, Hashem is Mechadesh B'chol Yom Tamid, if the Bria of creation exists, Hashem makes sure each and every day he presses his divine button to continue the creation he created on day one to continue to exist. V'yomer lefanav, and what we're really saying when we're praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all of our petitional prayers is B'riyosecha nachnu, God, we are your creatures. God, we are what you brought into this world and created, which means that we are dependent upon you as being our creator to maintain the existence and the various things that are necessary to maintain human existence on the face of this earth. We are creatures and we are dependent upon you. V'zeh kavanas of Amasha Amru, Vayikro El Elokim B'chazaka, they cried out to Hashem with strength. From here we see that tefillah, prayer, requires kol. You have to articulate prayer, thinking prayer, as some nunjis do in contemplation and meditation is not sufficient, but you have to articulate the prayer in words that you say in front of God to show your recognition and cognizance in who you are and who Hashem is and the relationship between you, and therefore have greater appreciation and HaKaras HaTov to Hashem for our continual ongoing existence. We therefore see that prayer highlights our dependency on God, and we're really saying that our entire existence and ability to exist depends upon God's divine will to want to cause that phenomenon to take place, to want to cause that phenomenon to in fact exist and to actually become a reality. The purpose of prayer, therefore, is to give tangible essence and substance to the belief that we cannot continue to exist as human beings, and the world cannot continue to exist as a world, or the universe at large, without the involvement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu continuing this existence each and every day. So what we're really saying to God is we're dependent upon you. That is why when a human being is caught into a crisis situation, whether we're in a surface crisis like Nachmanides talks about, floods and storms and fires are things that are threatening human inhabitation on the face of this earth, because these natural phenomena are potentially causing us endangerment, or whether we're facing psychological, emotional, existential, internal fears of our existence for various problems that are confronting us. And as a result of these problems, we are fearful when it comes to our ability to continue to exist in this world. Whatever these fears are, internal or external, there's one common denominator, that when we pray and petition God, what we're really saying to God is, we depend upon your help and we depend upon your involvement for us to continue to exist in this world on all these multiple levels, confronting all these different dangers without your divine help and concern and desire to want to keep us in this world in a safe condition, physically, mentally, psychologically, emotionally, and otherwise. So prayer is a very, very powerful statement of to Hashem, as the Ramban says, "Briyosech anachnu." We're fragile human beings. We are subject to all types of potential dangers that surround us from all sides, external dangers and internal dangers. And when you pray to Hashem, which is therefore praying to Hashem because of these potential eis sarot, you're therefore demonstrating that God is our creator, and as such, we as his creatures are dependent upon our creator, that if we wanted to continue to exist, God must exert his divine capacities to keep us going, to keep the world going, in order for human existence to flourish on the face of this earth. This is the essence of prayer, and this is quite obviously a major functional purpose of why, according to everybody, we should pray to a God every day during the year, whether it's biblical or rabbinical is a side point, but everybody says a man has to pray Shachris, Mincha, and Mariv in the morning, the afternoon, and the evening to point out that 24 hours a day we are dependent on God for our existence and our ability to survive and thrive in this world. That is a very important factor. But obviously, during the time of the Aser Semei Tshuva, when we're praying to God to forgive us for any spiritual mistakes we made during this past year, we committed averos, whether on a functional, physical level or a theological, hashkafic, ideological level, we're saying to God that we're sorry for what we did. We have charata for having violated these specific hashkafic or physical acts which Hashem had forbade us to do, or perhaps we didn't perform certain positive mitzvahs asay Hashem required us to do at certain times of the day or certain times of the week or certain times of the year. So we are therefore giving cognizance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our prayer service that we do have remorse, we have charata on the past. We also have to have Kabbalah ala Asid, make a verbal and mental assignment upon ourselves that henceforth we're not going to allow ourselves to sink down in sin anymore. We're going to be living a spiritual full life with Torah mitzvahs, elevate ourselves and become closer and closer to Hashem, develop ultimately a dveikut, a connective link between ourselves and the Rabbanu Shalom. And that is why during the Aser Semei Tshuva, it is the prayer services that we recite all of these 10 days and the additional prayer services, especially the special slichas we recite each and every day as part and parcel of our prayer service. The Avinu Malkeinu that we recite, the special viduyim that we make, especially when it comes to the tefillah of Yom Kippur, where we verbalize our recognition of the sin of the past, and we say, I'll hate this and I'll hate that. What they're really saying is we have tremendous aggravation, emotionally, psychologically, religiously, that we had the spiritual lapse. And therefore, petitioning God to help us return to Him, give us the ability, Hashem, to do tshuva, a total tshuva, return to You with our whole heart, our whole soul, our whole being. And therefore, by doing such, the tefillah allows us, with our uncertainties we have concerning our further existence because of our sinful behavior, it's a way of giving us an insurance policy that if we daven properly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be shomea tefillos, He'll listen to our prayer, He'll acquiesce to the requests we made concerning maintaining us and keeping us alive and allowing us to thrive and be successful in this world. And if that's the case, prayer is the medium of conveying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that for everything that relates to our life, whether it's physical or spiritual, we need divine help, divine siyata d'shmaya, to maintain the proper course, to go in the right direction, to give us the ability to have the strength of character and personality and strength of emotion and temptation to follow God's divine will in this world. And therefore, our dependency for God to help us to accomplish this is one, therefore, of a major factor in the prayers we recite to HaKadosh Baruch Hu each and every day. So I want you, therefore, to realize that prayer, especially during the time of the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, is to say to God, if we're going to be able to better ourselves, if we're going to be able to do tshuva me'ava, to really do tshuva for the right reason, if we're going to be able to better our lives and dedicate our lives on a higher level to dedication to Hashem in the future, since we depend upon God and we are His creatures, we're asking God for His siyata d'shmaya, for His divine help to help us. And there is a principle in the Hashkafa of Judaism, Habala Tar Misainoso, a person who wants to purify themselves, a person who wants to come closer to God, a person who wants to elevate themselves spiritually. If you want to do that and you really mean this sincerely, Habala Tar, one who wants to purify themselves and elevate themselves, what does God do? That Hashem basically reciprocates in kind and gives you divine help in accomplishing the mission. So when a person wants to make themselves spiritually better, God gives you siyua, gives you divine strength and health and support to fulfill your desire to elevate and better yourself in your spiritual connection with God Himself. So we therefore see the power of prayer and what prayer is really saying on a theological level as it relates to our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now I just want to mention, since we're going to be involved in prayer for a long period of time, especially Yom Kippur, that I want to mention certain things about prayer that you have to know of to make sure that your prayer is done on the highest level.
You are listening
preferably
to BensTorah.com.
When a person prays to God, he should understand what he or she is saying to God in the prayers you're reciting. That's why it is a valuable phenomenon to get a hold of a translation of the Siddur, the Machzor you're going to be using, and to read and see what is the translation of the words you're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as you are saying your prayers to Hashem. We call this Perush HaMilos. If a person understands what they're saying and understands the kavanas behind the words that you're reciting to Hashem, it's a much more interesting experience, a much more invigorating experience. It's not only emotional, it becomes intellectual, and you're able therefore to concentrate better and literally intensify your concentration on that which you comprehend when it comes to what you're saying to God in the format of tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Perush HaMilim is something we have to work upon. I personally feel and know that when people are bored of davening, it's because they can't understand what they're saying, they have no understanding what the words mean, what the kavanas are. Some people are more fluent in Lashon HaKodesh, some people are less fluent. Theoretically, prayer could be said in any language if you comprehend that language, if you can't understand Hebrew, so that when you're praying to God, God does need a translator, but you might not need. But you might need a translator, and therefore you have to understand what you're doing. Baruch Hashem, we have today Machzorim and Sidurim that have the Hebrew text on one side and the English translation on the other side. If you speak French, there are those with French translations, there are those with Russian translations and other languages. So thank God we do have the ability for you to know Perush HaMilim and thematic meanings of the words that you're saying by the various printed Sidurim that are available. Art School does a great job in doing this, in not only literal translation, but conceptual introductions to the various prayers we recite, showing their meaning and their significance, and the many prayers that have been, many books written on prayer, and their meaning and significance written by Ari Gadolim over the centuries, which I would refer to you, whether it's Rabbi Monk's work on prayer, or Rabbi Schwab's work on prayer. There are a lot of beautiful books out there that have tremendous expositions on tefillah that will make prayer more meaningful and significant by understanding the words that you are saying. Number two, when it comes to your kavanot, not only do you have to understand what you're saying, but according to our Gedolim and according to the Rambam, the following kavana is something that is a prerequisite in order for you to be saying that you're praying, period. And that is, when a person prays, you have to feel that you're standing in front of God, b'chvodo u'b'atzmo, in the actual recitation of the prayer itself. You have to feel as if God is standing in front of you and watching you and hearing you in the process of prayer. You have to feel that you're being omeid l'fnei Hashem. And the Rambam paskins, and this is emphasized especially by Rav Chaim Soloveitchik and other Gedolim, that if a person might understand the words he's saying, but loses track and forgets that he's standing in front of God when he's praying in a position of prayer, when he's doing his prayer service, he forgets that God is watching him or in front of him, then that's not considered prayer and you haven't accomplished anything. So we therefore see that being in a position of cognizance that you are standing in front of God and talking to Hashem with your prayer is a sine qua non in order for what you're doing to be considered prayer and to have halakhic hashkafic validity and have the power to impact upon your needs and necessities by Hashem listening to your tefillah and being makabalit as a sincere prayer being given by yourself from your heart directly to the Rabbanu Shalom. The Nusach HaTfilah we use today was created, the Rambam says, by the Anshei Knesset HaGadol, the Great Sanhedrin, in the beginning of the Simple Temple, Second Temple period. Every word that's contained in Hebrew in the prayer service is written by Ruach HaKodesh. It has multiple meanings. There is a nigla meaning, an open meaning, an obvious meaning. There's a nista, there's a Kabbalistic meaning in every word in the Shemoneh Esrei. So you have to be careful when you daven to Hashem to repeat every word carefully, realizing that even what you understand, which might be the nigla interpretation, is not the ultimate nister Kabbalistic interpretation as well. And therefore, be very careful on how you say the words, how you pronounce the words, in order that all their meanings and all their significance on every level, pshuto, the simple one and the Kabbalistic one, should have the empowerment of you saying them, therefore soliciting various divine messages and divine help from God according to the translation and meaning of these words that were written by Ruach HaKodesh Nevuah by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. I also want to mention to you that it's important, even though you can pray by yourself, to pray in a tzibur with a group of people, with 10 men at least, because Chazal tell us when a person davens with a tzibur, with a minyan, the Shekhinah is there, the Shekhinah is very intense, God never rejects the prayers of a tzibur when the tzibur are davening as a group in front of the Rabbanu Shalom. So davening with minyan is a very important factor, And that's why it's important, even today, that if we have problems maybe congregating in shul, that you congregate outside, but it has to be done with a minyan. Wherever you congregate, it should be done with a minyan in order to give your tefillah a din of tefillah sarabim and allow this tefillah to be something that is always accepted by God one way or another itself. I also want to mention that since you're standing in front of God, you have to dress accordingly with respect for clothes. You have to feel as if you're standing in front of a king, in front of a melech, and dress accordingly to show that you're cognizant that God is standing and watching you and hearing every word you articulate at the time of your prayer service. This is something incumbent upon men and women. Therefore, don't daven in your pajamas, or don't daven in your underwear, or don't daven in other types of clothing that might be disrespectful. Daven in clothing that shows that you're coming in front of a great individual, a great entity, the same type of clothing that you would wear in front of a king, in front of a president. That's the type of clothing you should wear when you're davening in front of God, and especially if you're the Shliach Tzibur, the one who's leading the congregation tefillah, you surely have an obligation to dress in a special way to show as a leader of the congregation that you yourself are therefore, technically speaking, representing the Tzibur in a very respectful, very bekavedik way. I do want to mention something else, which Rav Soloveitchik was mechadesh, and that is, if you notice, when it comes to Shemoneh Esrei, it's recited twice. One privately by people when they're saying their Shemoneh Esrei, and then we have Chazaras Hashatz. The Shliach Tzibur repeats the Shemoneh Esrei, perhaps adds a little more, but he repeats the Shemoneh Esrei, we recite it privately. Why do we need for us to daven privately, and why do we need a Chazaras Hashatz taking place? Is this not a duplication of efforts? So Rav Soloveitchik was mechadish, a very important chiddush, unique and distinct based upon various types of diukim he made from the Rambam. And he points out that when a person davens by themselves quietly with a tzibur, with a minyan, that is called tefillah b'tzibur, davening with a tzibur. When you have chazaras hashatz taking place, and you have a chazan reciting the prayer service and the congregation listening, that is called tefillas hatzibur, that's called a congregational prayer. Rav Soloveitchik was mechadish, a tremendous chiddush I want to share with you this morning. Says Rav Soloveitchik, what is the difference between prayer in a group, in a congregation, tefillah b'tzibur, and what is the difference between tefillas hatzibur, which is done when it comes to Shliach Tzibur? So says Rav Soloveitchik that the Gemara in Masechtas Brachos talks about the tefillos we recite that were formulated by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, that in actuality, this prayer service has two formats and two different meanings. When we're davening by ourselves in a tzibur amongst 10 men that are davening as a tzibur, but we're davening privately, we're basically davening like Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov davened, and that's a davening of Bakashas Rachamim, asking Hashem for our needs and necessities to survive and exist in this world. It's a private prayer that's done in union with other individuals, which makes your tefillah much more acceptable, but it's a tefillas harachmi, Bakashas Harachamim. This is the tefillah that was mesukin by Avraham Yitzchak. Tefillos keneged avos tiknum. This was their purpose in prayer, to petition Hashem for their personal needs and necessities to exist and to survive in the world in which they live. However, the Rav Soloveitchik said, there's another purpose of prayer, and that purpose is seen at the Zmani HaTfilah, which Chazal instituted. And what is that purpose of prayer? The second purpose of prayer is that Chazal gave our prayer service, when the Chazan repeats it, a din as if the Chazan is a Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash, bringing the communal karban, the communal sacrifice of the Jews, as a karban, as a sacrifice to Hashem. So the tefillah of Chazaras Hashatz is really like Hakravas HaKarban. You're bringing a sacrifice to God as a tribute to the Rabban Mishalom, as required by the Torah. In fact, Chazal quote a pasuk, Nishalma Parim Sifasenu, that the lips of our mouth should therefore fulfill our requirement to bring the various animals required for temple service. That phenomenon is fulfilled by Chazal when we have the Shlei Tziba doing Chazaras Hashatz. He is, by saying the Shema Esrei over again, it's as if he's being makriv the karban, the actual sacrifice of the tzibur that he's davening for at that point in time. It has a din, therefore, of tfilos keneged temidim tiknun. The tfilos correspond to the various karbanos that Hashem had initially nechayiv us to bring in the Beis HaMikdash. So we have two different levels of prayer. And that's why it's important when a person is praying in shul and praying in the synagogue that they should be very, very careful not to talk, not to lose concentration, to hear what is being done, what is being said by the leaders of the congregation, by the Shliach Tzibur, because if you talk and have discussions during Chazaras Hashatz, you're not going to have the ability to have the benefit of being able to have the carbon of the tziva being brought on your behalf, because you've shown disinterest, you've detached yourself by talking, and if you're hurting yourself tremendously, that level of tefillah of bringing a communal carbon is not attributed to you because you're not connecting to the tzibur and to the shlei tzibur by having your private discussions. What is therefore interesting to note is that therefore, when we daven in shul, we have to daven with total concentration, with cognizance that God's divine presence is in front of us. That's why we have many shuls on Aron Kodesh, V'yisei Hashem L'negdi Tamid. We should always feel that God is in front of us, especially when we're involved in the midst of prayer, or daven in Torah Omed, know in whose presence you are praying. God's divine Shechina is in the synagogue at the time of our prayer service. Chazal compared our shuls to miniature sanctuaries, to miniature temples, and the same way the temple had God's divine presence in it, our Bati Knesios have God's divine presence in them as well. That's why it's very important, if we possibly can, to try to daven in a Beis HaKnesses, in a synagogue, which is full of God's divine presence and has an intensity of God's Shechina contained therein. It's more preferable to daven there than to daven outside, even though davening outside might be more comfortable, relaxing and such, but you don't have the intensity in the Kedushas HaBeis HaKnesses in the backyard or the parking lot of a shul. You have God's divine presence and God's divine essence in the actual interior of the synagogue that was built as a miniature sanctuary. So that's the case. If a person has a choice, they should try to daven in a synagogue to get the benefit of bringing a karban and experiencing the Beis HaMikdash experience by being in the synagogue when the prayer as a karban is being offered for you. A very important point to mention to people when they have a choice to daven inside or outside, if the safety is equal in both, you should try to daven inside, because inside the synagogue, the aura of the Beis HaMikdash and the aura of God's divine presence and the aura of being in a Makom Kodesh all come into existence. You should think of the Shlei Tziba as if he's the Kayin doing your avoda. You are Klal Yisrael who are there listening carefully and literally being present when your Kavan's been brought to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are some of the symbolic messages that we have when it comes to praying to God. One more fact I want to mention over here before I finish my shiur today, and that is the Sefer Chassidim mentions and emphasizes that if you want your prayer to really be a prayer of Avedas Hashem, it should be done in a state of Simcha Shel Mitzvah. When you do mitzvahs in a state of Simcha, they have higher meaning, significance, and importance in the eyes of the Ribbono Shel Olam, which means, very simply, Ibdu as Hashem besimcha betulevav. You have to worship Hashem with him tulevav. When a person sings a song and a melody when he prays, it makes him be in a state of simcha shel mitzvah. And when you're in a state of simcha shel mitzvah by singing a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it gives you the ability to obtain Ruach HaKodesh and become spiritually elevated and connect to God. That's why when it comes to prayer services, when they're sung by the congregation together, it elevates the tefillah and makes it into a mitzvah of simcha, allows you to get greater spiritual elevation by doing such, and allows you to come closer to God in the concept of prayer. It makes prayer more enjoyable, and makes prayer much more impressionable upon you, and makes us into a simcha d'ka mitzvah, which people enjoy doing because of the participation they have in the singing of the prayers and singing as a tzibur, as a choir of the synagogue together in front of the Rebbe Mishalom. These are some of the points of the power of prayer. Prayer is tremendously important. It's one of the three ingredients, Chazal say, that allow us to remove the Ruach HaGezerah from us during the Aseres Me'tshuva. We say tshuva, tefillah, utzedakah, ma'avirim Ruach HaGezerah. We already spoke about what tshuva accomplishes. We already spoke what tzedakah, what chesed accomplishes. Today I'm mentioning what prayer accomplishes. It elevates us. It allows us to come closer to God, to speak to God, to ask for our needs and necessities. And if it's done properly with the proper kavanos, in the proper place, the proper time, with the proper mindset and simple shel mitzvah, prayer has incredible powers that it can penetrate the heavens and come in front of the Kisei HaKavod and allow us, therefore, by doing such, to show that we need God, we love God, we depend upon God, and all of this elevates our prayers and guarantees our acceptance that Hashem will be mekabel tefilaseinu. Let us hope and pray that we daven with the proper format, with the proper kavanos, with the proper singing, with the proper concepts of what the words mean, get the right person, the right chazan, who we respect, who elevates us with his nigunim, and literally is able to raise our minds and our hearts and our body and our soul in the dveikus, in tremendous intimate connection between ourselves and God. According to Rav Yehuda Levi and other gedolim, tefillah is the food for our soul, for our neshama. It's a very, very important food. Without it, the neshama cannot survive and exist. And therefore, the same way we feed our bodies with food, we feed our neshama by very intense and beautiful prayer. Let's hope and pray Hashem will be mekabel tefilaseinu, the same way we hope he was mekabel our tekiyos. He was mekabel, hopefully, the donations we'll be giving for tzedakah. He should mekabel our tshuva. He should mekabel our tefilos. And let's hope and pray in the schus of tshuva, tefilot tzedakah, mavirim ra'os ha'gezerah, Hashem will give us a healthy and happy and successful year, and we should be zocha for all the brachos that are written in the Torah, be able to fulfill our mandate on our spiritual purpose in this world, besides our physical purpose, become a real Eved Hashem, a person who's dependent upon God and loves God, and with all of this to be zocha, that our lives should be full of Eishe V'Kagod, with simcha, with healthiness, with b'riyas ha'nefesh, with b'riyas ha'guf, have nachas, that we will use the word gefen, which means the gimel stands for gesund. When it comes to the concept of pay, so besides but obviously having gesund and having health, we also want to make sure that a person, quite obviously speaking, has the ability to have ultimately parnasa, the money he needs to be able to support himself in this world and his family. And the nun stands for nachas, yiddish and nachas from our kinderlach. The birchas gefen is comes from me and my family to you. Let's hope and pray. L'shana haba v'shlam habanuya. Have a wonderful year.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.